Welcome to the second hour of Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power. To join us in Portland, call toll-free at 503-963-4595. Elsewhere, call 1-877-475-4595. You can email us at courtside@trailblazers.com. Or send us a text message, courtside at 66937.
Trailblazers Courtside continues. It's hour number two, presented by Pacific Power. Jay Allen and Michael Holton from our Rose Garden studios as we broadcast live here on the Blazers Radio Network, trailblazers.com, and Comcast Sportsnet. And a busy hour number two coming up. Ian Thompson, senior writer for Sports Illustrated and SI.com, scheduled to join us here momentarily. Mike Barrett will be with us at the bottom of the hour from New Jersey. And we're also going to talk live with Danger Aaron. He is one of the judges on Wanted, which debuts on Comcast Sportsnet coming up on March the 1st. He'll give us the lowdown on that show again a little bit later on here in the second hour of Trailblazers Courtside. All right, let's go out and talk to Ian Thompson, as we mentioned, from Sports Illustrated and SI.com. Ian, good evening. How are you tonight?
Hey, good. Is that Jay?
Yeah, it's Jay, and Michael Holton is here as well. And great to have you on the show. Let me just first ask you, let's just rewind a few days to the trade deadline last week. Obviously, we saw several deals. First of all, the Cavaliers get Anton Jameson from the Wizards. Ends up being a three-team deal. What did you think of that move? It hasn't necessarily paid early dividends, but probably going to take a little bit of time to work Jameson into the mix. Is that what we're seeing?
Yeah, you know, he's a kinder, gentler Rasheed Wallace.
Okay, we'll take that.
Like, if you think about what Rasheed meant to the Detroit Pistons, I think it was 2004, started the year that year in Portland, obviously, and Detroit gave up nothing to get him, and they won a championship because of him, and I think this might very well be that move for Cleveland. I know they've struggled a bit now, but they always do this. Whenever they change their team, they're the kind of team, it takes them a while to work guys in. I mean, when Shaq was starting the season with them, they didn't look very good this year. I remember they made a big midseason trade a couple of years ago, and they were almost a 500 team going in to the playoffs over the second half of the year, and then they almost knocked off the Celtics in the playoff series. So, you know, I just think it's going to be terrific for them, the way he spaces the floor. He's such a great guy, very mature. He'll fit right in. He'll cause much more harm than good, or much more good than harm, I mean.
You know, Ian, I've had the question asked of me, and I'm going to now ask it of you. Is it possible for a team to have too many good players?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it is possible, but I don't think – that's why I like this move so much, because he does not demand the ball. He doesn't hold on to it for a lot. He scores off garbage. You know, if there's a broken play, he's the kind of guy that will score at the end of that. And a good passer for being a scorer. He's not a selfish guy at all. So to me, he was the perfect kind of guy. I'm not so sure. There was a lot of talk about Amari Stoudemire. I think for the short term, for winning a championship this year, this guy's much better. He'll get it. You know, I think he'll always get it. And with Amari, you're never quite sure if he will.
Well, when you talk about Antoine Jameson becoming a Cleveland Cavalier, there were two other players dealt at the deadline in Kevin Martin and Caron Butler, both 20-point scorers. Which of those three players do you think will have the biggest impact on their new team?
Well, now, if they win a championship, maybe they would have won it without him anyway. But I just think it's one of those moves that puts him over the top, and he'll win a couple playoff games for them. Caron Butler, I don't see that as a finishing move for Dallas. I don't think that they are going to really move up because of that. I think what that does is position them this summer to try to make a big move. He's one more asset that they have now that they can either deal or that they'll have in place when they try to go out and get Chris Bosh or whoever it is they try to get this summer. You know, he's sort of part of this transition that they're trying to move through this summer to get into next year. So, and Kevin Martin, I would put him third on the list. just as a finisher. I think on a real good team, Kevin Martin has to be your third or fourth best guy.
Hey, Ian, what about McGrady going to the Knicks? And, you know, I mean, he goes out in his debut the other night. He had 26 points. They're starting him. He's already said, hey, I'm willing to take less money if they want, if they'll bring me back. And obviously, if they try to add another superstar as well, whether it's LeBron, D-Wade, Chris Bosh, et cetera, as you mentioned, do you see McGrady there long-term in New York?
You know, only on the fringes, you know. I'll say this. Last year before he had his microfracture surgery, he had quite a few games like this where he could put together good scoring nights. But he just doesn't have the explosiveness he had before. He's sort of in this Frank Tanana stage of his career right now, I think, unless he can get that explosiveness back where he's a former 95-mile-an-hour fastball guy who's now got to throw in the 80s and try to beat you that way. And he's got the skills to do it because he's really a point guard in that body of his and such a great scorer and shooter and really knows how to play. But they've got bigger goals. They're looking for two guys now that they have this cap space that they got from that McGrady trade. They're looking for two young guys that can explode, that can light up New York and put them back into contention instantly. And if McGrady does come back, he will be one of those guys that's like the third, fourth, or fifth best guy in the team.
Ian Thompson, Sports Illustrated, SI.com, is with us here on Trailblazers Courtside. Now, there were some guys that were rumored to be on the move that did not get moved, namely Amari Stoudemire, Ray Allen, Monte Ellis. The fact that those three guys are still with their teams, I mean, which one of those three, which one are you surprised by the most of those three guys that they didn't get traded?
Well, I think it has to be Amari Stoudemire for this reason. He almost surely is going to opt out this summer. I know he's talking about coming back and picking up his $17 million option for next year. Mm-hmm. But if he does not opt out, then he's going to go into the lockout summer in 2011 without a contract, sit through the lockout, then negotiate a new deal under the terms of the new bargaining agreement. Much, much tougher for players. It's going to be shorter contracts, smaller salaries, you know, smaller raises. Everything's going to be worse for the players. I just think he's going, and a lot of people around the league think he's going to become a free agent this summer. And so now Phoenix really runs a great risk of not getting anything back for him at all.
Where do you think he ends up?
Well, it'll be interesting to see if Miami really does want him. If they do and they get him, well, now they look very smart for not giving up Michael Beasley to get him because Beasley becomes the four. Stoudemire is the center. With Dwayne Wade, they become one of those teams that really runs almost like a Mike D'Antoni-style team.
The Trailblazers get Marcus Camby. How does he change the Trailblazers team in future?
Well, for this year, I think for sure it keeps them as a playoff team in spite of all the injuries they've had. And they're just really showing a lot of heart as a team in the franchise for sticking it out and not using excuses for them to still be in the playoffs with what is still perceived as a young team. I think it's a very promising thing. They're finding things out about themselves in these moments of distress. For the future, you know, if they keep Marcus Camby, if they sign him up for pretty big money, you know, even for 2 or 3 years, I think people will be reading into that questions about Greg Oden and his viability. So, you know, I sort of think that he won't be in Portland next year.
Hey, Ian, let's talk about the offseason a little bit more. I mean, you mentioned Amari Stoudemire. It'd be interesting to see where he ends up. What does your gut tell you about LeBron, about Dwayne Wade, and about Chris Bosh, where each of those guys will be playing a year from now?
Well, I felt all year long that LeBron's likely to stay in Cleveland. For a couple of reasons, it's his hometown, and if he ever left, it would just be a real hard sell. It'd become a lot less popular, I think, if he turned his back on his hometown to say go to New York. And now that they've gone out and got Jameson, and they look like the favorites to reach the finals at the very least, I just think it's going to be harder than ever for him to leave. Dwayne Wade, I don't think it's going to be as hard for him to leave Miami, especially now that New York has room for two max or near max guys. It's, you know, he could argue that he could have a better chance of winning in New York now than he would if he stayed in Miami. So I think that's a game changer. there, and that's going to be very interesting to watch. And it's a total gut feeling by me. I'm not going by any kind of inside information.
I thought we were breaking some news here with you.
No. I've got to be honest with you. I'm just talking off the top of my bald head here.
And then the last one was Bosch. What about him?
Bosch, you know, all year long, all you've heard is that he's out of Toronto, and I'm just not so sure about it. If they want to pay him the max, that's going to be $30 million more over the length of his contract than he can get anywhere else by signing a five-year deal elsewhere. He'll get 6 years with Toronto. I think that's going to be a big deal. And he has said recently, he came out and told some people that he wants to be the number one guy on whichever team he's playing for next year. If he goes to Miami to play with Dwayne Wade, he's going to be number two. There's no doubt about that. So I'd say it's 50-50 that he can stay in Toronto, especially they're playing better now.
Ian, how about Gilbert Arenas? He's kind of fallen off the radar in terms of people's conversations. How do you think that situation is going to play out in Washington?
Man, that's a good one, Michael. I have no idea. I know every time we say that a guy is untradeable, he ends up getting traded, and more than once in his career. Juwan Howard was untradeable. There have been all sorts of guys with contracts. He said they just can't move them. Jared Jeffries was the most recent example by the Knicks to get this cap space. So I could see Arenas coming back and playing well and getting moved. On the other hand, I think the bigger issue there is they've got a new owner coming in. It's probably going to be Ted Leonsis. They're going to have a lot of cap space, not that they'll be able to attract anybody to play at Washington, but they can trade into that cap space, take a big contract off the team in the trade. They're going to have a high lottery pick. So I think whatever they do with all these assets that they have around Gilbert's going to help define what happens to him going forward.
All right, last thing, we'll leave you with an easy one. The Blazers in the playoffs, out of the playoffs. If they make the postseason, do you give them a shot to win a first-round series, especially with the addition of Camby? How are you feeling about that with about 25 games to go?
I think they're going to be in the playoffs, and I think they have no shot at the second round.
No shot at all?
None.
Who do you think they get, the 8th seed, the 7th seed, or what?
Yeah, they'll be a bottom seed, and there's just going to be a lot of deeper teams with more firepower. That have all their pieces there. You know, that was that team Portland had last year, had pretty much their whole team there, and they just didn't have enough firepower to get past Houston. I think that's still a problem, and it will be a problem against these other teams that are loaded up at the top of the West.
All right, Ian, as always, we appreciate your insights and analysis, and we'll be checking you out in the magazine Sports Illustrated and, of course, SI.com, and hopefully we'll see you again here in Portland very soon as well.
Hey, thanks very much, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, Ian Thompson with us live here again from Sports Illustrated. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we're going to do a little trivia. Mike Barrett's going to join us at the bottom of the hour from New Jersey. Later on, we'll have more time for some of your calls as well. And we continue to get your texts and emails, courtside@trailblazers.com. You can text us by sending the word courtside to 66937. More of Trailblazers Courtside presented by Pacific Power on the way in just a moment. Stay with us.
Now, back to Courtside, presented by Pacific Power on the Trailblazers Radio Network.
Back here on Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power and their Blue Sky Renewable Energy. Lighten your footprint and enroll at pacificpower.net. Let's turn the answers on. Jay Allen, Michael Houghton, continuing here on hour number two of Trailblazers Courtside. Mike Barrett, the TV voice of the Blazers, will join us live in just a few moments from New Jersey. Right now, though, it is time for the Horizon Air Trivia Contest. Be the first caller to correctly answer our question, and you'll pick up a $25 gift certificate to Typhoon. You'll also be entered into a drawing to win a trip for two to Santa Rosa, California, courtesy of Horizon Air Wings of the Great Northwest. And our question tonight, what is the record for the least number of wins by a team in an 82-game NBA season? Of course, the Nets are working on that record. They are 5-51 right now. And again, the question, what is the record for the least number of wins by a team in an 82-game NBA season? Remember, this is a call-in contest. Only 503-963 877-474-4595. Toll free 877-475-4595. Now, you probably looked at the answer already, didn't you?
No. I was just thinking about a 5-51 team. I mean, when I was on the expansion Charlotte Hornets, we went 20-62.
Okay.
And I knew how that felt. I can't imagine what it feels like to be 5-51.
Yeah, it can't be a good feeling. Of course, the Blazers are in New Jersey. They'll take on the Nets tomorrow night. And you'll remember the Blazers played the Nets here at the Rose Garden back on November 25th. I was just going back just to kind of refresh my memory, looking at the box score from that game. Now, the Blazers won that game 93-83. Of course, that was only about a month into the season. And Greg Oden was playing that night. Joel Prisbilla was playing that game. And Brook Lopez still came in and put 32 and 14 boards up. So, you know, we'll talk more about this later in the show, but how do the Blazers go about trying to defend him? You know, I mean, it's Marcus Camby, right?
Yeah, well, his 32 didn't get him a W.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, how much does he have around him? I mean, that's the big question, obviously. All right, we'll take another quick break. We'll come back. We'll check in with Mike Barrett from New Jersey. And we'll also get back to some of your calls, texts, and emails. Remember, you can email us courtside@trailblazers.com as we continue tonight live here on Trailblazers Courtside, brought to you by Pacific Power on the Blazers Radio Network, trailblazers.com, and Comcast Sportsnet.
We now continue with Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power.
Back here on Trailblazers Courtside, brought to you by Pacific Power. We're going to talk to Mike Barrett from New Jersey in just a moment. Right now, though, time to give you the answer to our Horizon Air Trivia Contest. Again, the question, what is the record for the least number of wins by a team in an 82-game NBA season? And the correct answer, Michael?
The correct answer is 9.
That's right. The Philadelphia 76ers won just 9 games in the 72-73 season, and then they played for an NBA championship 4 years later against the Trailblazers. Of course, we know how that went. The Blazers beat them for the world title. And congratulations to Richard Hodges of Portland. Richard was the first one in with the correct answer. He picks up the $25 gift certificate to Typhoon and, of course, is entered into the drawing for those round-trip tickets for two to Santa Rosa, California from Horizon Air, Wings of the Great Northwest. Before we take the break and then check in with Mike Barrett in New Jersey, speaking of worst seasons in NBA history, the Nets have won 5 games, so they're 5-51, so 56, so they have 26 games to go. Do you give them a shot to break the record?
As much as I'm pulling for Kiki Vandeweghe, my college teammate, my Blazer teammate, they might break the record.
Yeah, and man, just how, I mean, and they have, you know, you look at their roster, it's not like they're completely devoid of talent. We talked about Brook Lopez, still young in the NBA, obviously, but 19 points. He's averaging 9 rebounds a game. They have Devin Harris getting you 16 a game. And then there is, Chris Douglas Roberts, a pretty good role player. But and then there's a pretty big drop-off after that. I mean,
it's not a very good team, Jay.
Yeah, I mean, they have a couple of guys. I mean, especially Lopez, who's solid. Devin Harris, who has had some good seasons. He's battled some injuries this year. But then after that, the cupboard is, it's not completely bare, but it's kind of bare.
One of the more telling things about the New Jersey Nets this year is when Dale Harris resigned. I just thought that was a bad sign to send, that Dale Harris was brought in to help Kiki, and then 5 games into it or whatever, he decided for whatever reason, and I guess the report was that he was told he wasn't going to be the next coach, which I don't know. I have a hard time believing that because I'm not sure Dale Harris wants to be a head coach at this point in his career. But the bottom line was he came and he left. He took one look and he left.
All right, emails coming in. courtside@trailblazers.com. Lots of emails tonight, as always. Mark from Northeast Portland says, if Prisbilla and Oden return for the start of next season, where does that leave Camby? Does he remain a Blazer, come off the bench as a backup to LaMarcus, or do the Blazers look at moving him to another team? Where does Howard fall into this? What do you think will happen, and what would you like to see happen? Well, Marcus Camby is a free agent at the end of the season, so he will have a vote in this. He'll have a choice. And his agent, Rick Kaplan, I mean, even Camby has said, and again, we're only what, two games into his tenure as a Trailblazer, but he said that he would definitely be open to, you know, re-signing here with the Blazers, depending on how these final couple of months go. Kevin Pritchard, when the trade was announced, said, hey, we're not looking at this necessarily as just, you know, rent a center for the last couple of months of the season. So I think it remains to be seen. Some have said, hey, you probably can't keep both Camby and Juwan Howard. So there are going to be definitely some big decisions to be made in the offseason.
Well, those questions will work themselves out over the next 20-plus games. So we can sit here and try to strategize and figure it out. And, you know, there's basketball to be played, and there's guys getting healthy. You know, Joel, Greg, there's just a lot of factors involved in what happens with Marcus Camby and his future with the Blazers.
All right, let's take another quick time out here on Trailblazers Courtside, brought to you, as always, by Pacific Power. When we return, the television voice of the Trailblazers, Mike Barrett, will join us live from New Jersey as the Blazers get ready to tip off that 5-game road trip tomorrow night against the 5-51 Nets. We'll take the timeout and come back with MB right after this.
Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power, is brought to you by Branding, your brand management partner. Now, back to Courtside, presented by Pacific Power, on the Trailblazers Radio Network.
Back here on Trailblazers Courtside, Jay Allen, Michael Holton, the show brought to you by Pacific Power, as we continue here from our Rose Garden studios. And let's go live to New Jersey now, where the Blazers will take on Brook Lopez and the Nets tomorrow night. Mike Barrett and Mike Rice will call the game on Comcast Sportsnet. 4 o'clock for the pregame show, the tip-off at 4:30. And MB is with us now live here on Trailblazers Courtside. Mike, how was the trip out to New Jersey? What's, I guess, the mood of the team right now after that tough one last night?
Oh, I think, you know, probably as you would expect, stunned. And, you know, they went to practice right when we got in a while ago and got back to the hotel about an hour and a half ago, and they try to keep them on Pacific time. So they're down at a team dinner now. And, you know, they have to somehow, I don't know, learn from last night's loss and at the same time put it behind them in a hurry because, you know, New Jersey, this is a dangerous game, and people are going to think I'm nuts because the Nets are 5-51, but they've had injury trouble, but they're now healthy, and you know they gave Memphis all they could handle last night, had a big lead after the first, and Memphis kind of slowly chipped back into the game. But this is, you know, this roster that New Jersey has, you look at it up and down, there's no reason why this team is 5-51. They are scary, and again, everybody's scary when you're struggling like Portland is right now, but it's so vital to get the first game on this trip.
No, and MB, I agree that this game kind of is a dangerous game for a little bit of another reason. I thought that the way the Trailblazers played against Boston, you know, kind of flatlined a little bit. And then something happened in practice because the team came back inspired and focused against the Utah Jazz for a little over two and a half, three quarters in terms of physical play, chugging cutters, taking the Jazz out of their offensive efficiency and effectiveness. I mean, really just clicking on so many cylinders. And so for that to be the response to the Boston game, it was like, wow, great. But then when you don't get rewarded with a W, it kind of leaves you in that place of where do we go from here?
Yeah, and you know that because you're a coach and that, and you've seen that, and that's just it. And it wasn't the defense, and I don't think it was a lack of effort down the stretch, and it certainly wasn't anything that, you know, Utah didn't get red hot, and it was that was the worst feeling about the game is that if you can take a loss if a team comes back and makes brilliant plays to beat you, but it was just truly a case that Portland could not score. And, you know, four of their last 27 from the field, and if they get any one of those, they win the game. And, and that's the sad part, and that's the part that you're kicking yourself about because I rarely do I say this. I don't think Portland, you know, I don't think Utah won it. I think Portland lost it, and maybe that's not a stretch to say that. But, you know, the Trailblazers down the stretch, I don't think the defense was that bad. They continued to rebound, although they had some trouble at the foul line getting defensive boards again. But it was just a case that they could not find a way to score it. And Brandon, for the first time in a long time, was back running the offense late in the game. And he looked better. He looked much more like the Brandon we know. But it's like the rest of the team was so out of sync then, trying to remember how they run that offense late in the game. And, you know, Brandon certainly capable in those situations, as we know, but maybe not ready for that. And it snowballed, and you could feel it coming, and it was slow and painful.
Yeah, when the Trailblazers get put in a working against the clock situation late,
late in games. It is a totally different vibe and energy when you watch the team. And you saw that last night. And that is cause for a little bit of concern, just a little, because, you know, as Brandon gets healthier and you have a little practice time like tonight, that will get smoothed out somewhat. But the part of it that concerns me is that stagnation on the offensive end then carries over to the defensive end, and that's a bigger problem.
No, you're right. It does. And I think it leads to things like not boxing out on the, you know, free throws defensively and the little silly things that we saw in Utah getting offensive rebounds all of a sudden and putting, you know, like the last one Boozer got and just not finishing off plays. And you're already thinking about what you're going to do offensively and the struggles stick with you. And, boy, it was just, devastating and gut-wrenching, you know. And I hate to use the word devastating, but that was. It was a devastating loss. And, you know, if the season comes to a close and they're a game out or something, they're going to look back at that one last night as one that was maybe more painful than any other one they've had this season.
Mike Barrett with us live here on Trailblazers Courtside from New Jersey. Blazers and Nets coming up tomorrow night. And, Mike, I wanted to ask you about Martell Webster. He only played, if my math is correct, only 12 seconds in the fourth quarter and the overtime, only a total of just over 14 minutes last night. And, we're not that far removed from his 28-point game last week, but he's just been, you know, after that great January, you know, where he was leading the league in three-pointers, at least for that month, he's really been kind of up and down, kind of inconsistent. Where is he at right now? Do you have a read on that?
Well, you know, Martell's a bulk shooter, and that means he needs his touches. He needs to take a lot of shots. He's not a guy like Steve Kerr who you can put in the game late and get a quick three out of him. If he doesn't have a good rhythm going, you're not going to get that from him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think with Brandon back, Martell's going to have to adjust. You know, and we are talking about just two games removed from, you know, or three games removed if you want to add in the game on Tuesday from the trade. And, you know, I've seen glaring examples during the last couple of games where not having Steve Blake really hurt this team at times. Now, Marcus Camby was tremendous last night. I think in the long run, it's a great deal.
Sure.
Not questioning that one bit. But I think, you know, Martell's having to adjust from that. Jared Bayless is having to adjust from that. He's being asked to run the team now with that second unit. And he is playing with Martell some. Brandon picks up two early fouls last night, has to go out. It mixes up the rotations. And, you know, I just think that Martell, when he's not getting the touches, and clearly when he's going to be playing alongside Brandon, he's not going to be getting those touches as much as he has when Brandon has been out. And, you know, I think maybe there's a case there that you start Batum and you bring Martell off the bench, if for no other reason than to get Martell some more shots and some more looks. I never have a problem with Martell taking shots. I mean, he's a guy who's got to take them. And you know, when he hesitates, it's not going to go in. He is a catch-and-shoot-in-one-motion guy. And not unlike LaMarcus Aldridge. When LaMarcus hesitates, forget about it. It's not going in. Mm-hmm. And Martell is largely the same way. So they got to figure out a way to run a few plays for him, run him off some picks, get him looks early in a game. And as we've talked about so many times, if Martell hits his first couple in a game, look out. If he misses his first couple, it's almost always going to be a difficult night. And oftentimes, he won't even attempt shots after that. They got to force feed him in those situations, and I think they see that.
Yeah, and you kind of touched on my next question, but about Batum, because we've had several emails and texts about it.
And
nothing against, you know, taking nothing away from Martell, because like I said, he's had some great moments this season. But do you see a point where Nate puts Nick back in the starting lineup, or how do you see that going?
Yeah, you know, he hasn't talked about it, but it's right there in front of everybody, and I've been asked a lot about that. I got a lot of emails about that today, and everybody wanting to see that, and I think it's about combinations at this point. Michael knows that. I mean, mm-hmm. for being a coach, you want to stick the best combination out on the floor. And maybe right now for Martell, in order to get the shots that he needs to get involved in a ball game, maybe that is better that he comes off the bench. I don't know what Nate is going to do at this point, but I know, you know, at this point in the season with where this team is at now, you do whatever you have to do. You put loyalties aside and feelings and everything else. You got to get the best five out there together in combinations to get you the best chance to win. It's as simple as that. And I know Nate feels that way too. So I think they'll take a hard look at that. You know, I don't know if the change will come tomorrow night. But, yeah, I think Nicholas Batum is a credit to him. But as you said, Martell had a terrific January.
Yep.
And, you know, he all but won that game against San Antonio a couple of weeks ago at home with his play. Had the big game against the Clippers. But, he again, consistency is something he's got to continue to work on. And, yeah, I think he'll find it. It's just a matter of who he's playing with and in what combination, what situation.
You know, boy, Nate McMillan and his staff have had to make a ton of decisions this year in terms of roster and changes and chemistry and injury and guys. And one of the other things that's kind of looming now in the trade with Steve Blake not being a Blazer anymore is the backup point guard minutes. Is that going to be Jared Bayless playing that role consistently, or is Brandon Roy going to slide into that spot? You know, Andre Miller's probably not a 40-minute-plus guy. And what do you think, MB, about how those minutes are going to be distributed?
That's tough because, I mean, they want Bayless to get in there and get used to running the team, and they obviously have confidence in him. They wouldn't have traded Steve if they didn't think that Jared or somebody could step up and run the team when Andre's not on the floor. But last night when they tried Jared a few times in there, I mean, Jared's a tweener guard. I mean, he's a tremendous explosive scorer and can get to the rim. But, you know, we did see some numbered breaks last night, a few times, a three-on-one, a three-on-two fast break. Jared's just not yet comfortable running those situations and maybe doesn't see the floor as well as he will in the future after he works on this. But that's a glaring spot, and his inability to hit the long ball consistently or even outside shots, he's struggling right now, and he knows that. So, you know, I think it might be a situation, and I don't know if you experimented this time, but, you know, I think Rudy could handle some of the point guard minutes as far as setting the offense up on occasion. Brandon obviously will get a lot of that time doing that, but he starts along with Andre. So there you got to decide, do you take Andre out earlier or Brandon out earlier in a game to get them back together in the game at the same time? And then down the stretch, we know what Portland is. It's not, you know, there's no question mark there in the fourth quarter what they become, but it's such a drastic change over what they're trying to do early. Those are tough adjustments. Those are things you got to figure out, and I know they got to figure it out quickly now because, you know, the clock is ticking and these last games are going to fly by, and this road trip is so vital as far as getting a few of these on the road on this five-game trip so you don't come home looking up at the eight above you.
Hey, Mike, last thing, we'll let you go. You know, obviously after a tough loss like last night, you're always worried about, you know, the players, the coaches, but perhaps most importantly, you worry about Wheels. How is he doing?
He's doing fine. Hey, you know, and that's the funny thing. And I don't ever like to try to make, you know, at least as far as Rice and I on the TV side, I don't want to be a part of the story. I just want to be, you know, have a part in delivering the story. But when you spend the time that you do with the players like we do, you know, and here comes all the talk about homerism and stuff, and I get that, but it's impossible not to ride the emotional roller coaster along with the team.
Sure.
You just do. I mean, you care about the guys and you know them and you see them going through nights like last night and you want to help out. And I love the fact that Wheels is competitive and we're the same way. And the last night, I didn't hardly sleep last night, and I wasn't even directly involved in the ball game, you know, and I know a lot of Blazer fans feel the same way. It was gut-wrenching for all of us. So, you know, yeah, we'll continue to watch Wheels. I'm sure he'll be fine.
He's not alone tonight, is he?
I'm going to go down to his room and make sure that I get the shoelaces, the belts, those kind of things. Get out of his room.
Okay.
All right, MB. Hey, as always, we appreciate it. And, of course, the coverage tomorrow night on the TV side, 4 o'clock, tip-off at 4:30 on Comcast Sportsnet. And bring home some wins.
Oh, we'll do our best.
All right, Mike Barrett with us live from New Jersey as the Blazers get ready to take on the Nets. And, of course, coverage on radio tomorrow at 3:35. Quick timeout. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the show that we told you about earlier, Wanted Adventure Host. It will make its grand debut a week from tonight on Comcast Sportsnet. One of the judges from that show, Danger Aaron, is going to join us live in studio. Stay with us right here on Trailblazers Courtside.
Now, back to Courtside, presented by Pacific Power on the Trailblazers Radio Network.
We're back here on Trailblazers Courtside, presented by Pacific Power on the Blazers Radio Network, streaming live around the world at trailblazers.com and on Comcast Sportsnet as well. Jay Allen and Michael Holton joined now live in studio by Danger Aaron, an Oregonian.
Absolutely.
Born and bred, right? You're from McMinnville?
I was born in McMinnville, lived there in a mortuary for pretty much my whole growing up, and moved to Portland when I was about 18 or so. And
Hold on. We can't just breeze over that. You lived in a mortuary.
Oh, yeah. My dad's a mortician. You know, okay. Classic scenario.
I was wondering if that was a slam on McMinnville or if you really...
No, I actually grew up in a mortuary.
So, wow. Like upstairs or...
Upstairs. Okay. And, you know, we used to play around in the pews and stuff. But, yeah.
This is a whole topic for another show. Yeah. We may have to have you back next week to delve into this further.
Hey, I just couldn't let that breeze over. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, I was just trying to throw that in there.
And just to set the table, too, you're a big Blazer fan. Blazer season ticket holder, right?
Yep. I've been going to Blazer games since I was pretty much living in the mortuary. And, this team is great. It's pretty much, you know, the biggest thing that I've liked to go do in Portland right now, like for a long time. I love going to games. I love the energy here at the Rose Garden. And what used to be the Coliseum, it's just great. And people, they're great fans, and we got a great team. Unfortunately, Friday was not the best game that we've had. But fortunately, next Monday premieres Wanted Adventure Host. And it premieres at 8 o'clock every Monday. It's going to be playing, and it's a great show that I was a part of. I was a judge in that show along with Christy Lee Cook and Brian Wheeler. Not the wheels that you guys
know. No, Brian know, Tracker but, Wheeler.
Yes, okay. Tracker. Yes. Tracker.
Now, you were a judge. Tell us about the show. What is the premise of this show, Wanted Adventure Host?
Well, we're basically looking for a new host for an outdoor show. We got hundreds of applicants to try out to be the host, and we weeded it down to, you know, the 12, then 10, and 9, and finally down to 1. They're all from the Northwest, and, you know, the Northwest has a lot to offer for the outdoors. Like, I would say the best place, you know, that I've ever been, and I've traveled a lot. So it's about time we put together something, and Comcast SportsNet is the one doing it, and it's great. Good people. And it's a lot of fun.
So when you say you weeded out a lot of people, I think there were over 600 applicants. And how long did people have to really sell you?
Well, in the beginning, the first couple of days, the first day, in fact, it was about 30 seconds they had to impress us and show us how, you know, they talk on camera and under pressure, which is not a lot of time. You know, obviously, some of them I would have liked to have kept more than others, and vice versa with the other judges, but I think in the end, we got a great candidate and a good person to actually host this new show.
Yeah, and this has been in production for a while, been filmed around the Northwest.
Yep.
What are, and I know you don't want to give away too many secrets here, otherwise you'll be in trouble.
Yeah,
with all
I can't
the great
tell
folks.
You anything more.
No, I'm well, I'm going to keep asking you questions, and if you can't comment, you just say.
I'll plead the fifth.
There are 9 60-minute episodes that will air, and again, it premieres next Monday night, March 1st at 8 p.m., following the Blazers-Grizzlies game. What kind of activities, were you doing? Were these contestants doing? What were you putting them through exactly?
We were putting them through anything that an outdoor host would be encountering, such as, you know, horses and you know, canoeing and kayaking and whatever else, you know, whatever you would find in the Northwest, which pretty much you can use your imagination on that, I think, hopefully.
So as a Southern California kind of inner city guy, I would have got eliminated kind of the first cut.
Maybe not. Maybe, you might have done pretty well, you know. Like, I lived in California in Venice Beach for a little bit, and I had to run a lot there away from bad things happening to me. So you might be,
some of those survival skills.
Yeah.
And again, the best way to describe this, I was talking to Adam Willis from Comcast SportsNet before the show tonight. He was, prepping me for this interview. And he said it's a cross between, a competition and a reality show. You know, Survivor meets The Amazing Race. Is that a pretty accurate description?
Yeah, I mean, you basically had to survive all the things we were throwing at them. And at the same time, try to be a host, not just surviving, but explaining what it is you're doing. And one of the major things I was looking for was somebody who could explain and get across to the audience what it is they're feeling and doing and their excitement. Because, you know, if you're running away from a snake and you're just running away from a snake and not telling the audience how crazy this is and what kind of snake it was and what dangers to be like to look out for and things, then you're not going to be the host. But if you tell everything how it is and you express it to the audience, then that's what we're looking for.
And again, the winner of this competition, this 9-episode competition, wins their own reality show or adventure show, I guess
adventure
you would call
show,
it, on Comcast Sports.
They are the adventure host. Yes.
All right. And again, give us the details when it'll be on. And
it premieres this Monday at 8 p.m. on Comcast SportsNet, and every Monday after that at 8 p.m. It's a lot of fun to work on. I'm really excited about this show. I'm currently working on another film right now with Jackass, and
yep.
I am as excited about this show as I am that right now. So
all right.
Tune in, because there's a lot of crazy stuff that happens.
Hey, it's great to meet you. Thanks for coming in studio, and we'll see you at a Blazer game soon, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Right?
We'll see you guys soon.
All right. Danger Aaron, TV host, and he mentioned he's been part of the Jackass movies and also a part of Wanted Adventure Host. It premieres a week from tonight and will run for 9 consecutive weeks right here on Comcast Sportsnet, 8 p.m. Be with us for that show again starting a week from tonight at 8 o'clock. Quick timeout. We'll come back with more of Trailblazers Courtside right after this. Stay with us.
Now back to Courtside, presented by Pacific Power on the Trailblazers Radio Network.
All right, we are back here on Trailblazers Courtside. A couple minutes left, and the Trailblazers and Jones Soda want to hear your voice. Post your fan statement online. You could win tickets to an upcoming Trailblazers game. A grand prize winner will also win their statement on a pack of My Jones bottles. Go to trailblazers.com for all the details. Blazers and Nets coming up tomorrow evening. First game of a five-game trip. And we'll run down the rest of the action here in the NBA, but wanted to mention, and by the way, Karen, she emailed in, to point out that Sergio Rodriguez started tonight for the Knicks alongside Tracy McGrady. Of course, both those guys acquired in that trade last week. But Sergio, 29 minutes, 4 points, 8 steals. But the Knicks only scored 67 points. They lost 83-67 to Milwaukee. But still, big game, at least defensively, for Sergio, 8 steals.
That's a great game for Sergio, and I think it's the right system for Sergio. But how does such a high-octane offense score 67 points?
I don't know. I do not have the answer for that, and I didn't get to see that game, unfortunately. But again, a big night for Sergio with the 8 steals. The Mavericks beat the Pacers 91-82, and in progress, the Jazz lead the Hawks 85-81, trying to win again. There's about 8 minutes left to go in that game. As we start to wrap this up, just, I guess, give us your keys to the Blazers beating the New Jersey Nets. As Mike Barrett talked about, a little bit of a scary game just because the Nets, with that really bad record, you know, they're desperate for a win anytime.
I think the biggest thing for the Trailblazers' confidence at this point is to play a game without scoring droughts, to find a way to push through when you hit that lull. And that happens in almost every game. But don't let that be a 4, 5, 6 minute lull. I think that's the thing in front of the Trailblazers right now.
All right, again, Trailblazers and Nets tomorrow night. Radio coverage begins at 3:35 and on Comcast Sportsnet. 4 o'clock pregame, 4:30 the tip-off, both on Comcast Sportsnet and on the Blazers Radio Network. Thanks to our entire crew on TV and on radio, the Captain Rich Patterson helping us out, as always, at Studio C here at the Rose Garden. For Michael Holt, I'm Jay Allen. We will talk to you tomorrow afternoon as the Blazers take on the Nets right here on the Trailblazers Radio Network and Comcast Sportsnet. Have a great night.